comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you've chosen to be here, and I appreciate it. I want you to know that I do truly appreciate it. Tonight is Watch Free Night, so if you're not watching the show, you got to ask yourself why. All you have to do to watch the show is go over to my website, and you'll see some, the website is kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see some great big letters right in the middle of your screen that say Watch Free. Click that, and then you can watch the show. We do that a couple of times, two or three times a month, and I want you to get a little bit of taste of part of what you're missing if you're not part of our members community. In the members community, we have a lot of stuff. And one of the new things is an old thing that we brought back, but it's totally reconstructed, totally new construction. It's called the Video Galaxy, and let me urge all of our members, if you haven't checked that out, be sure you do. And a lot of you have, because I'm getting private messages in my message box in the members community. By the way, that's one of the benefits you have. You have a direct line to me in the members community. And the private messages about the Video Galaxy are very glowing reviews of the Video Galaxy. So if you haven't checked it, be sure you do. Another benefit of being in the members community is you get to get in on our monthly chat that I do at the beginning of each month. That will take place, of course, this Saturday at Showtime. So this Saturday evening, I'll be in the chat room at Showtime. I hope you'll join us there. We always have a good time. Now, if you're not part of the members community, you can fix that tonight. It's really easy to fix. Just click where it says Join right there on the menu on our main page at the website. It's only $7.50 a month to get all of the extra goodies that go with the show. And we'll give you the first 7 days for free right now. Now, that is coming to a close pretty soon. It really is. So you need to take advantage of it right now. You know, $7.50 a month, that if you divide that by 30 days in the month, that comes out to 25 cents a day. That's all. So be a genius. Take care of that tonight. Join. We have a free weekly newsletter, and you don't have to be a member of anything to get the newsletter. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. It's called the K-Files. It, too, is right there on the main page of the website. So just click where it says K-Files. If you're not getting the K-Files, click that and subscribe tonight. You're going to get an email with a confirmation link in it. You have to use that to subscribe or to activate your subscription, so be sure you do that, and then you'll start getting the K-Files each week. It goes out, we start on Friday night after the show, sending it out. And so either Friday or Saturday you will get it, unless there's some kind of delay, and then you get it on Sunday. But usually Friday night, Saturday, you'll get the K-Files. Again, absolutely free, no reason not to be getting it. We'll be back right after this. Ben Davis is formerly a service member in the U.S. Army. And he says that the story of a UFO battle at Fort Benning in 1977 rings true in many respects. But UFO encounters with the military during that period of time were not restricted to Fort Benning. How does he know? Well, he knows because he was part of such an encounter. And he joins us this evening. He is my guest this evening. And let me say he is also a member of the Kevin Smith Show members community. Ben, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. What is it that motivated you to contact me with your story, Ben?
Well, about, let's see, it was last week I got a message from John Vasquez, who just happens to be the first cousin of my daughter's mother. And I saw this message about Command Sergeant Major Norton, who just died the day before, and I was wowed. So I went to your site and watched the show, and it reminded me of my reason for writing a book about an incident that occurred when I was at Fort Polk. Having said that, somebody turned me on to another radio show, and I was broadcast a week ago tonight on IRN, and I told them bits and pieces of my story. And before I did that, I had mentioned the fact that I knew about John's book a year and a half ago, and I made the fact that I have not read it, and I didn't want to corrupt my story that I'm writing and what I have to tell tonight.
Okay, so you are familiar with Command Sergeant Major's first interview that he did with me here at this show, right?
Yes, I went online the other day and I archived it and I listened to it and entirely, and I've got an opinion for that, but maybe later in the show.
All right, and you are aware of what happened to him, the way that he died. Does that give you any reason to have concerns or fear about telling your story?
Well, let me be very candid here. It's been 35 years, June 16th, that I was discharged. And up to that point, because of an incident going on at Fort Polk, Louisiana, I was stationed at the 5th Infantry Division, 1st Brigade, 7th Engineer Battalion. And not only I was involved, but several other soldiers that were involved with some alien contact that turned the tides of my belief in the military system. I mean, I was a gung-ho soldier. Strike troop, the whole nine yards, top in my class. I hit 100 out of 100 targets on the BRM range, and what would turn somebody like me against the military? Well,
are you against the military? Are you?
Yeah, they discharged me with an undesirable. They forced it upon me. They actually threatened me. And I know that sounds familiar because I heard it with John's story and I heard it with Norton's story. And I feel these incidents are all related in some way or manner, and it's being kept from the public. And yeah, I've been afraid to say something for 35 years, but you know what? My family's sick of listening to these stories. My friends think I'm crazy, and I'm not. I'm just as sane as you and anybody else in this world. But I know what I saw. I know what I did. I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm kind of glad I did because of what was involved.
Okay, we're going to get into all the details of that here in just a little bit. But, okay, so you're stationed at Fort Polk in Louisiana. What year are we talking about when this incident, this encounter with a UFO took place?
It happened on March 14, 1976, and carried forward more than 4 days after we got back from the contact. So you're looking at 7 to maybe 2 weeks, and it kind of lingered. I mean, there was so much confusion and strange occurrences happening all over the base. It wasn't just me, but it's what I have to say about it, that's the important part.
All right. So you had this encounter, I believe you said March 14th, 1976.
Correct.
Let's start there. Now, this encounter did not take place on the base, did it?
That's true, yes.
Okay, let's start on March the 14th. Take us forward and just tell us what this incident is.
Okay. I was in a leg cast, and I had it broken about mid-February sometime in a friendly off-duty, what we call combat football game in the company area. It was right next to our barracks, and a private, David Pushard, who was the first, I guess, soldier I met when I got stationed there after AIT graduation. And he's a guy that broke my leg. But anyway, I'd been around the barracks for maybe a month or so and just bored to death, light duty profile. I was not given convalescent leave. And that really alerted my parents right off the bat, because everybody I know that gets injured in that type of situation, they send them home with pay. In the meantime, some of these buddies of mine that I didn't know said, hey, let's get Davis out of here. Take him for a ride. So we donated blood, got an extra day off. It was a four-day weekend. We took off about 1 o'clock Friday afternoon and headed for Wichita, Kansas. Another fellow riding with me, his name was JJ. I never really knew his real name. That was just his nickname. That's what they did in those days. And he and I were in the back of the truck. Since I couldn't ride with a cast on the front, we cuddled up into a sleeping bag, drove towards Shreveport, stopped at a gas station, refueled. It was getting close to dark. We crossed the state line, heading west on I-20 towards Dallas. JJ and I had been passing the time talking about Army life, you know, this and that and the other. And suddenly, JJ stopped right in mid-subject and pointed straight up in the sky, heading, looking east, and he saw a UFO of some type. And at the time, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then I squinted and looked, and it looked about 50,000 feet in the atmosphere, gold color, shaped like a cigar or oblong, and it looked like it has some kind of a tail section to it. So he goes, you seeing what I'm seeing? I said, well, nothing I've ever seen before. So he says, what could be that high up and not move? And so it kind of made us a little aware about what was happening, and out of nowhere it dropped like a rock. And I mean, I don't know anything on this earth that can go that fast. If you'd have blinked your eyes, you'd have thought it just disappeared. And then it zigzagged a little bit, and I mean, it was coming at us, and we just freaked. And the last thing we saw was this huge 400 yards wide by a half mile long, right on top of us, and a bright, bright light blinded us. And that's the last thing I remember for about 10 hours.
Okay, now you said it's 400 yards by what?
About a half a mile. It was like a mothership of some kind.
And then there was this bright, shining, bright flash of light. And then you don't remember anything for several hours, right?
Actually, quite a long time, because when we were awakened, it was the guys in the front that never knew what was going on, apparently. They told us, man, what's wrong with you guys? And we tried to wake y'all up on the last two gas stops. We stopped in Oklahoma. We stopped outside Dallas. And JJ and I looked at each other and said simultaneously, and never said a word, but we could hear each other's thoughts. It was the strangest, freakiest thing I've ever encountered.
And what were you thinking?
Where the heck were we? And what just happened?
Uh-huh.
And these thoughts were being transferred between JJ and I, like we were talking, like I am to you right now.
So what happens next?
Well,
first, let me ask this. How much time had gone by from that flash of light until they finally were able to wake you up?
Well, it was getting close to sunup, and it had been about 10 hours, you guys said. I said, no way. We did speak up with these guys, no way. But JJ was telling me in his mind, man, let's just go check in the motel and let these guys go where they got to go, man. I'm freaking out. Mm-hmm. So there was a motel at truck stop. We ate breakfast. The guys made arrangements to come pick us up on Monday. It was St. Patty's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about sunup. We hit the bed and went right back to sleep.
Okay. So these guys in the front of the truck never saw the object or the flash of light.
These guys never saw anything. But they thought we must have had some kind of sleeping pill or something. We had no drug. It was middle of the month. Nobody had any money. They barely had enough gas money to get there and back, even though it was 45 cents a gallon back then. So, you know, we were just freaking out, and we didn't even know what we were going to be doing anymore after we got there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we woke up about noon that day, and we were a little concerned about the way we were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
JJ started telling me about some weird dream he just had, and I told him I just had one too, and I actually remembered it this time. And then one.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you typing on your computer?
Oh, I was just reading some notes.
Yeah. Pay attention to the show and forget the computer.
Sure, okay.
Okay?
Right.
What happens with JJ?
Well, JJ and I tried to shrug it off, and you know, it was like March Madness. We decided to watch football, get something to eat at the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started talking about these weird dreams, and it was so vivid that we were thinking and talking the same thing so much that it kind of freaked us out a little bit more. And we just said, hey, look, let's just forget about it. You know, I don't even want to talk about this, man. Just lay here and be cool. Because I didn't even know the guy that much.
What kind of, when you say weird dreams, what sort of dreams are we talking about?
Well, at the time, I couldn't really put it together. And even today, 35 years, I didn't know what it all meant until we got back to Fort Polk. And so, you know, it was a really long weekend for us, and we couldn't wait to head back. And mm-hmm. It was like a bummer deal for us suddenly. And finally, the guys showed up. It was past checkout time. We thought we got stuck. And when they got there, they had to haul tail to get back to the fort in time for roll call. And we showed up to off post area. It was a little trailer park out south gate, and a guy by the name of Tim Harden, JJ wanted to go visit, and he had mentioned to me earlier, said, man, I saw Tim in a dream. I said, what are you talking about? And so it was total confusion and disillusion. And as we were driving up to T's home, he come running out, and we said goodbye to them fellas. He says, I got to tell you about Friday night. So we went inside. T said, I was fixing to go out juking in Leesville at a club, and this bright white light popped out of nowhere in my room, scared the heck out of me. I sat down on the waterbed acting like it wasn't there, and it got even brighter. And the next thing I know, it was almost sunup. Saturday morning, which was the exact same time the same thing happened to me and JJ. And we both, all three of us, suddenly felt this sensation coming over our minds, and it took over. And that's when we had been telepathically communicated by these visitors.
Okay, so you and JJ are talking with this guy named Tim Harden.
Yeah.
And he says, I got to tell you what happened on Friday night. And as he's telling you this, all three of you have a sensation that your mind is being taken over?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We felt like puppets. We could see each other's thoughts. In fact, they were telling us we had to perform a mission for them because, and I'm going to be very, very deep with this, the military had already captured some kind of beam weaponry, and they needed it back. And they told us in a way or some fashion that they couldn't acquire it because there was another alien species, which was their enemies that they were at war with, that had some type of technology that they would be detected trying to get it back. And they had to use us physically, telepathically, to manipulate a lot of things on the base to recover this item. And over the next 4 days, a lot of strange stuff happened.
Well, let's talk about that strange stuff. But we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds, so we'll have to talk about that strange stuff
we can do that
when we come back. But these ETs are saying you guys have to do it because we can't.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're going to step away for a break here in just a few seconds, ladies and gentlemen. My guest this evening is Ben Davis. And after he heard about what had happened with Command Sergeant Major James Norton, he decided to step forward with his story, which you're hearing here tonight. And there are a lot of details yet to come, so you want to be sure that you stay tuned in. Also, tell all your friends and your enemies as well. Everybody you know that hates UFOs, be sure you tell them to watch or listen. Just to bug them. All right. We're going to step away, and we shall return right after this.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with Ben Davis. Ben, you said lots of strange things began to go on at the base. What are we talking about there?
Well, we were in the outside, actually, now looking in, it apparently was top secret weapons development. And probably interaction with another alien species. And when I was listening to the show with John's incident at Fort Benning, it brought to mind some of the similar stuff that people just don't hear about in the military. While we're in the military, it's they separate, say, crashed pieces, and they want to re-engineer it and put it back together. And I believe that's what they didn't want us to do.
That's what the extraterrestrials did not want us to do. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Did you feel when the three of you were there and Tim Harden was telling you what had happened to him on Friday night, and then all three of you sensed that your minds were being taken over, did you feel at that time that you had no choice but to obey them, or did you feel like you could choose to disobey?
Exactly. We had a free will, but the visions that apparently JJ and I had seen over the weekend prior to getting back, and the time separated with Tim and all this was such a shock to a normal human mind that what we saw was I guess the future. And in fact, they had actually told us that this is going to be a downside in your timeline, and if we didn't participate, they'll just get somebody else to participate, and your lives will be meaningless. And we didn't understand that. However, the promise of them to make sure our future was set for reasons that they never told us, I don't know. But I was told in return for recovering this piece of item with these other fellows, that they would make sure that my future would be set. Now, having said that, I took a downturn. I got kicked out of the military.
Okay, before we get into that, mm-hmm. Let's talk about what did you do?
Well, being in a cast, I couldn't do anything. But being chosen, I guess, as the leader of the group, the other guys, apparently JJ had been relocated from another base, and I caught wind later on that he was involved with secret developments, and he was in the electronics field. Timothy was in communications, and when they tear, broken parts and try to re-engineer it, that the Army has a faction of making sure nobody knows what they're working on. And so the word can't ever really get out what's actually happened. So they spread it out among the base facilities. And what they did is they had access to that. And what they apparently used me for was my mental capabilities of psychically manipulating others around us that would cause certain incidents to happen. We could make people do things, and people would tell us to do something, and then they would not remember it. Their memories would be wiped. What happened that day, and it made such a confusion. It's like a diversion tactic or a distraction tactic at the same time. So the people that were privy to the information of this, I wouldn't discover what was going on.
Okay, so what did they do? Did they steal it?
Yep, they got it back.
Did they give it to the ETs?
I don't know that. I personally don't know that. But mm-hmm. I was told that 4 days after my mind had been sapped, and I probably slept for 2 days. And I got into a skirmish with my platoon leader, Lieutenant Webb, and I cussed him out. He ordered me, gave me a direct order. I disobeyed it. It was insubordination. That was my key of being processed. That's what they used to get me out of the Army, because the next thing that happened was I made a phone call to my home. And I told Mom, I said, put Dad on the phone. And I told him the truth. I've never lied to my father. He was a World War II Navy frogman. And 30 days before he died, 4 years ago, he told me the truth. He said, son, I'm the one that made that phone call. I said, what phone call? I called Senator Lawton Child, told him to get my son out of trouble.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about who your dad is and who your family is.
Okay.
So share that with the audience.
All right. My family's name goes back in history in the state of Florida. My dad's father was the only doctor in a three-county area in rural North Florida. His brother, in time, would become, he was a past president of the Florida Senate in 1955, whose father, George Davis, was past president of the Florida Senate in 1914, whose brother was the Supreme Court Justice of Florida. And my family had deep roots, Brothers of the Confederacy and the whole nine yards. And I was offered law school in Florida, but I grew up Tallahassee. Who wants to be a dadgum gator? And that's why I went in the military.
Okay. And so how does your dad know Lawton Childs?
Well, after the war, my mother and he had decided to stick together, get married. My father enrolled at Auburn University. And in his fraternity, he met Lawton Childs. They became roommates. They became best friends. In fact, my dad and I helped get him elected into the Senate in 1970. So they knew each other pretty well.
Yeah. So he calls Senator Childs and he says, did he tell Senator Childs everything that you had told him about the UFO and all of that?
I don't know about that part. My dad's belief in UFOs is that dadgum Howard Hughes playing with his toys again. That's what he believed.
Some of them may have been.
Well,
it's possible.
I mean, until this happened to me, I never even knew what a UFO was. All I saw was Apollo missions when I was, you know, in high school. And let me say this. Senator Lawton Childs, at that time and era, 1976, was the chairman of the Defense Department Budget Spending Committee. So apparently he knew something. And what they did was they used my broken leg as a reason to pull a congressional inquiry on the Post to discover what the heck was going on down there, because something was out of control. And there was more than just what we allegedly had done, but I mean, there was riots between the MPs and the engineer battalions. I mean, dozens and dozens of men. There was fights off base in a bar called Tinker's Dam, and I was there, and I was the only one that didn't get arrested. First Sergeant Peavy woke everybody up in the battalion one morning at 3:30 and out in our skivvies and said, "The speech of the century. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it." So a lot of collusion, a lot of confusion, a lot of, you know, there was so much, I call it distraction and diversion. It's like a military tactic in itself that,
And what was causing that?
I believe the aliens were behind it all. And okay. I think it was the tall, blonde reptilians I've discovered in the last several years of research trying to gather information, which, and then again, I was told back then that I was supposed to write a book around 50 years old or so and let the public know, and this is my time.
All right, so all this confusion's going on the base. Senator Lawton Childs at that time is head of the Defense Department Spending Committee.
Right.
And or the Defense Budget Spending Committee.
Right, correct.
And he launches a investigation into what's happening at Fort Polk, right?
Correct.
And what was the outcome of that investigation?
Well, they sent me on April 22nd to the base hospital. Two majors were flown down from the Pentagon. They were doctors and orthopedic specialists. to give me another physical examination. They did everything. And then they told me straight to my face that I was no longer physically fit to remain in the military. And I was going to be listed as separated with full disability. And they had discovered that not only did I have the leg of Perthes disease as a child, but I should never have been let in the military, and I also had it in my right hip. So back in the day when I joined, they tested me. And they had what they call a GT test. And anybody listening out there knows from my era, it was four different tests. With a recruiter that gave me the test, told me, "Mr. Davis, I've never seen anybody hit 100 my entire career. You hit three of them. And 95 on the other one." So that raised a flag, in my opinion.
Okay, so this is a test with a firearm, is that right?
No, this was prior to even being inducted in the exam, physical exam, to even get in the Army.
So what is it that you're hitting 100 on?
Whatever the test was. I don't even remember what the test was. That's how long ago it was. They call it government testing.
Okay.
Probably your aptitude, your, you know, all kinds of stuff.
All right,
it's
so
how the Army determines your intelligence level. And they further on gave me an IQ test. I won't disclose that. But it was way up the chart.
Okay, so you're in the military, and now these guys, these doctors from the Pentagon, show up, and they say you never should have been in the military.
Correct.
Okay, and that's based on a physical condition.
Right.
And so they're going to have you processed out with full disability.
Correct.
Is that what they did?
No.
What did they do?
Apparently, during that month or so between these things happened, another investigation popped up. The CID, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the IA, and the MIBs all showed up. We were heavily interrogated. And the last thing, in fact, I don't remember any of the interrogation. And when John's story was being talked about the other night about memory loss, and they all had these psychiatrists
with. And we have to step away for a break. We're going to pick up right there, though, when we come back. Don't go away, folks. More from Ben Davis. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Ben Davis. Now, Ben, you were telling us about what had happened. They said you were going to be processed out with full disability, but then all of these alphabet agencies show up and a whole new investigation. Do you have any idea what it was they were investigating?
Well, I personally knew what was going on, but I had been given a little ability to be able to hide those things. And during the investigation, or they call it, what do they call it, the interview.
Okay.
When they brought me in, I felt a prick on the back of my neck, and these MIBs, they were in this room that they had dark everything, and glasses in a dark room, and I don't remember 4 hours. That day.
Okay, so you don't remember what they said the investigation was about?
No, I don't. I had the feeling that they got whatever they needed out of me, but the fact is I didn't know what it was they got exactly. I don't know where it went exactly, but I did know some names. And when the day came for me to be presented with what's it called? It was the Article 15 procedure.
Which is court-martial.
Yeah, court-martial. And they stepped it down a little bit and included the insubordination with, you know, a little spat I had with this lieutenant. And it had nothing to do with what was going on. But they used that as a tool to threaten me about what they think I remembered what was going on and had said, this is what's up. A Lieutenant Colonel Wayne B. Davis was transferred into command at the 7th Engineers from the Pentagon. And I found out from the orderly that he was a former intelligence officer. And they dealt with black ops and stuff like that, which was created in Vietnam. And he acted like the lawyer and the judge and the you know, executioner at once. He said, Mr. Davis, I'm going to give you this paper to sign right here. And you have an option to appeal it. You got so many days to do it. And I need to see your signature in front of me, and then I'll sign it. It was, as a matter of fact, this is the way it's going to be. And don't you dare not sign it, kind of way he said it to me. So I was fed up with the way things were in the military. The Vietnam War ended when I joined. So and my best guess was the fact that they were trying to hide something.
Did you ever see this extraterrestrial weapon that the ETs wanted recovered?
Did you ever see it? Vision of what it could do.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrifying.
What could it do?
It had the capabilities of turning a human body into jello. It was like a sound beam weapon. It couldn't be used in space. It was only for ground usage in atmospheric condition.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wrong hands, I can imagine what could be done with it. That's all I can say.
Now, when they showed you what it could do, did you see the weapon?
No. They just the implanted memory I guess it's the manipulation part of it all. It's really hard to fathom as a human and a soldier and somebody that really believed and raised to be that way. You know, it was shock enough to participate. But this is what they did. They gave us enough of the future to, interest. I mean, it was like we had to be a willing participant, even though we felt like pawns in a game that we couldn't win. But in the future, I was told I was going to meet a Mexican woman who's going to give me a child, a daughter, whose name was going to be Crystal. And all these things came to pass. And the reason I'm saying that is because my leg of Perthes disease was 5.5 years long, and during my puberty years, 2.5 years. And prior to that, the AMA finally decided my last 3 months before I was cured that x-rays could cause sterility. And they started putting lead over, you know, your genitals. It was too late for me. I'm probably 98% sterile. That's what a doctor told me, because I could never get a woman pregnant in the whole 9 yards. So that was, by saying that, it's how they get into the deep parts of your mind and can, it affects your emotions. It affects your beliefs, and it also affects what you want. And so they suggest that it's like a hypnotic suggestion. This is what you're going to get. And the ironic thing about it is it all came to pass. Everything occurred. I met the woman. I had the daughter. She's probably online in the chat room right now listening, smiling, and say, go, Daddy, go, because I can feel her.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. So you got processed out, and it was, you know, one of these things, okay, sign here and do it right now. And then what happens?
They had to reissue me all everything that you get when you get in the Army. They issue you your uniforms, your clothes, your class A's, your belts, your hats, your socks, your underwear, everything. They took me down to the quartermaster, issued me everything brand new again. I had to sign it. When I brought it back to the company area, I had to turn it into the company area quartermaster. And I said, "What's this all about?" He says, "Well, when you were gone for 4 days, they raided your locker. They confiscated everything. And you got to have a record of giving it back to us." I said, "Well, that's a crock."
Well, if they confiscated it, why didn't they just give it back?
I don't know. I mean, that question will never be answered. But when I turned everything back in, and First Sergeant Peavy was his name, he was so mad that this congressional inquiry messed up his 2 months of paperwork. And it was a file of about 2.5, maybe 3 inches thick. And he said, "You see this, Davis?" Bam, he throws it into the trash can. He said, "Now go see the captain." Captain told me that this is a deal. You got a undesirable Chapter 13 discharge right here in 180 days. You'll get benefits. If you don't sign this, we're going to court-martial you. And we're going to bring in some of this other investigation. And we'll probably get 20 to life in Leavenworth. And so here we go with a fear, intimidation, just like I heard from Norton and Vasquez and all this memory wiping. And it's almost a mirror match. And even though I can't really produce any evidence, and I've tried, I've collected my personnel records, everything's covered up. I mean, there's nothing on the exam. There's nothing about the inquiry. I have no idea how to collect anything like that. In fact, some of my signatures don't even look real. They fabricated everything. And when they had me sign this paper, I just said, "Give me the paper, I'm signing it, I'm out of here." And as soon as I signed that paper, First Sergeant Peavy tossed his keys to orderly. He said, "You drive Mr. Davis out the back gate, not a foot further. You hear me? And I mean not 1 foot further."
Well, all right, we have to step away for a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We are talking this evening with Ben Davis. And if you missed that first hour, you've missed, you've missed a ton of information here. But Ben Davis, formerly with the U.S. Army, was motivated to come forward and tell his story about an encounter with a UFO in 1976 while he was stationed at Fort Polk. The encounter did not happen at Fort Polk, but subsequent events did. He was motivated to come forward and talk to us about it because of what he heard about what happened to Command Sergeant Major James Norton. And so he's been sharing with us what his encounter was all about. All right, now when we had to go away from for break, you said that I think it was a first sergeant or a master sergeant. Which was it? Peavy.
it was First Sergeant. They call, you know, yep. Nicknames top when you're in the Army.
So First Sergeant Peavy, when you signed this paper, tossed his keys to someone and said, take Mr. Davis to the back gate and not 1 foot further.
That's correct.
And so is that what happened?
That's what happened. 20 miles from Leesville, no telephones, no money, bus ticket, meal ticket, and then and I was done. What did happen next was my buddy Mike Connolly. He was from West By God, Virginia. He had the accent of one, and he went through boot AIT training and permanent party. We were like the real buddy system. He drove up 10 minutes later while I was walking. He said, get in, Ben. And I said, where are you going to take me? He said, wherever you want to go. So I had him stop at a payphone. I called my mother, and she said, I'll get you an airplane ticket. Just go to Shreveport. So Mike drove me to Shreveport. It was already off-duty hours, and we talked the entire way.
That's a pretty long drive. That's from Central Louisiana. From South Louisiana, up to Northwest Louisiana.
I think it's about 3 hours.
Uh huh.
If I can remember correctly, State Road 210 or something like that. Anyway, we talked about what was going on. He knew all about it. In fact, I believe he had been contacted by these aliens too, because we could read each other's thoughts just like T and JJ. And you know what he told me? That T and JJ got scooped up, and they were in lockdown facilities. I was restricted to come to the area the last 30 days of my stay there, because back in the day they couldn't process you like, you know, digitally today. It took weeks for all this paperwork to come back and forth. And I said, what happened? He says, I don't know, Ben, but you're the first to go, and they're going to. And apparently anybody that was involved got taken out. And it reminded me again of John's story. So I didn't read John's story until Thanksgiving Day, after your story with the death of Norton.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to corrupt what was going on, but once I did, I mean, it was about 80 pages. The rest of it was appendix, and looking through all that stuff, it was bright as day to me that this is exactly what the military does to people that find out what's going on or are involved in.
Okay, now let's talk about James Norton just a little bit.
Sure.
Because there, his story is connected to your story. If in no other way, it certainly is connected in that it motivated you to step forward and start talking about this. Now, James Norton, for those of you folks who are new to this, you don't know about this, you don't know, okay, when you're... Once you take care of that, joining our members area, you go to the Video Galaxy, and all the shows we did with James Norton or about James Norton are there, and you can watch them. But James Norton was a command sergeant major. James Norton told his story about being present when there was a battle between some UFOs and the U.S. Army at Fort Benning in 1977. His story corroborated much of what John Vasquez had already told us. Actually, John had been on the show something like a year before. So we had heard this story. But he was telling it from his standpoint, and he was located at a different place at Fort Benning than where John was. And so he told us what he saw from and what he participated in from his perspective. He came back about a month, maybe 2 months later, and he told us that he had been detained at Fort Benning. He told us that the commanding officer, the base commander, had taken the memory sticks out of his cameras and kept them. He told us that the base commander told him you know, you've caused us a lot of trouble. You need to stop what you're doing. And put him on the telephone with a guy who identified himself as NSA. Now, this is all what he told us. Okay. And the guy, according to James Norton, the NSA guy, told him, you better stop what you're doing right now. Norton decided he would not stop what he was doing. He continued to go public with it. And then November the 3rd, he's feeling fine. November the 4th, he feels awful. He's very weak and he hurts all over. They take him to the hospital. They diagnose him with cancer. They diagnose him with leukemia, with hepatitis C, with bone marrow turning to mush. November the 20th, he swells up, has extreme swelling all over his body, and the morning of November 21st, he dies, ostensibly of a heart attack. Okay, now, all of these are disorders and diseases that we were told he had no idea that he had any problem with any of this. And on one day before, he was feeling fine. Okay, so I said on the show, and you heard it, I don't know that he was done in. I can't say that he was. I can't say that he was assassinated. And I don't imply that he was. I can say that the circumstances surrounding his death are very odd, very suspicious, and really ought to be investigated by an outside pathologist. And, you know, I'm willing to say that. I'm not willing to say that he was done in. But I'll tell you this. Most of the email I got and calls that we got to the show when I did that show about him dying, to the best of my knowledge, 100% of them were of the opinion that he was assassinated. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you think he was. That's really not important because one person's opinion is as good as another person's opinion. But knowing all of that, how is it that it motivated you to step forward instead of motivating you to be silent?
Well, now that you asked a really steep question, I never really thought. I mean, I listened to the tapes, the first one of his, just the other day, and I'm not too sure that he had a full deck of cards. And being a command sergeant major in 18 years, and what I've known in the military, and I spent over a year and a half and talked to many, many veterans over the last 35 years, I don't know anybody that's reached that rank in that quick a time. Among other some of the things he said.
Well, let me say I do. I personally know a command sergeant major.
Yeah.
Who
reached
that rank in that period of time. Yeah.
It's rare. It's rare, and it's possible that, you know, that he did. And I'm not saying he was snuffed out. However, I do know of an incident. I can't really disclose this. I don't have permission to. And it has happened during the Iraqi War, and I can't go further with that. But because of this knowledge, I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay,
as for my case,
yeah. How does that motivate you to speak out instead of motivating you to be silent?
Well, basically, I was told by these visitors that there was going to be a time for me to step up. Well, in 1999, I thought was the time. And I spoke up. In fact, MUFON down in South Florida invited me for an interview. And my daughter and her mother and I went down there. And we talked about it. And they shocked me. They asked me a very specific question that only me and Crystal's mom would ever know what it is. And they were very clinical about it. They said, during conception, did you notice any aftermath? I said, excuse me? And I knew exactly what they were talking about. So did Kathy.
Well, let's don't get very graphic here.
I'm not going to go that way. But I want to tell you this. They said, well, not to worry. I said, what do you mean not to worry? We've been studying these cases for over 50 years and have documented 28,000 of them in the United States alone. And I stood up and I said, this interview's over. So from that point, over the last 12 years, was my demise. I've suffered. My family suffered. In fact, this economy's not really helped it any. We've lost a lot of investments, and we struggle to survive. It's been 2 years since I've had any work until recently. When you called me the other day, I couldn't talk. But, you know, there's a big picture here that is tied in with everything that I've collected over the past 35 years since I got booted out, and then found out just a year ago when I acquired my personnel records that I have under other than honorable. Ticked.
Okay. I want to ask our audience to join us and participate in the show tonight. And the way you do that, ladies and gentlemen, is you give us a telephone call. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. I do not read chat panels. And if you are in the USA or Canada and you happen to send me a flash message, it will not be read on the air. I probably won't even see it. It won't even get to me. The reason is we have telephones for you, and it's a TALK show, talk, not a type show. However, for those of you who are outside of the USA and Canada, we know it's expensive to make those long-distance calls across the ocean, so we do have for you another option if you want it, and that is a flash message, and you go to my website and scroll down, and you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is the link. Use that and send me a flash message. USA and Canada, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
How are we tonight?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Good.
The gentleman, you just mentioned him, and he about it, his name slips out. The gentleman that just died.
Yeah, James Norton.
That he was talking about.
Mm-hmm, James Norton.
James Norton, yeah. Didn't he state that he was present besides the Secretary of Defense?
No.
At that time of
no.
the incident?
No, the Secretary of the Army.
I might think of something else.
Yeah, Secretary of the Army.
Okay. And that he said that he assumed that he was abducted, right?
No. He said that Mr. Alexander and his aides basically turned tail and ran. They evacuated the area.
Oh, I thought he stated when he was on the show that he had memory loss and assumed that he was probably abducted also.
No. No. He said that Alexander and his aides... Alexander says to his aides, we don't need to be here. And they turned around and left.
Okay. And your guest doesn't know anything about this other guy then, the way it sounds.
What other guy?
The guy that we assume are that guy. Sounds like to me.
You broke up so bad we can't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. The guy who just got killed, who just got killed.
You're talking about James Norton.
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't know anything about him.
No. I don't know anything. Never heard of him.
Did you hear him, Terry?
No, I'm getting spreaking up fuzzy. So
yeah, he says no. He never heard of him before. He heard about it on this show, but he'd never heard of him before.
Yeah, I didn't follow.
Yeah,
that.
It seems like somebody his rank and you know it'd be somebody he would know something about.
Well, there's a lot of command sergeant majors all over the world.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily know somebody just because you were in the Army and they were a command sergeant major. Fort Benning is not in Louisiana. Fort Benning is in Georgia.
About 400 miles away from Crow Lodge.
Yeah, and Fort Polk is in Louisiana. So
I see.
They weren't at the same base at all.
Oh, okay. They he was insinuating that he was at the same place too.
No, not at all. No, he was at Fort Polk, and James Norton was over at Fort Benning. But
so I was just, I just somehow. So I'll let it go with that then.
Okay, but thanks. Yeah, even so, even if they had been at the same base, you have to understand these bases, it's not just a few guys. It's a city. They're huge. You don't know everybody that's there. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Okay, Jerome.
I'm having a little difficulty hearing. I'll try to continue as long as I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why didn't you list this as a real people segment on your show tonight?
Because this one is really very, very different from most of the real people situations. Although he is real people, this one is very different in that we just had James Norton die, and that was a motivation for Ben to step forward and tell his story. So it kind of put it in another category.
Okay. And then my question for Ben. You mentioned, you said there was blonde reptilians.
Yes, I did.
I didn't know the blonde reptilians. I thought the blondes were Nordics and the reptilians were more or less shapeshifters. Do you know what I mean, or could you explain further what you meant?
I've done some research through the years, and, you know, a lot of this is theoretical and conjecture and actually no proof, or we would be friends with aliens right now. But this is what the images that were shown to me. Of course, I never really saw the visitors' faces. I don't know why. I couldn't even guess why. But they were telling me that they were enemies. And they've been battling for hundreds of thousands of years. And I believe they can do time travel at that.
Kevin, I'm having a great difficulty understanding him. May I just ask you a couple questions, and then I'll get off the air and listen to it on the air?
Yeah.
My first question is, he said something about he saw the future. If he could explain that further, what the future is, and also, what his father's reaction was when he got the horrible charge, and if he is still is currently psychic. And like I said, I'll take the answer off the air because I really can't understand it.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you got
I don't
it.
Know.
He broke up for me too. So.
Yeah, you know, folks, you have to use the phone that you've got, of course, but I can tell you. If it's a cordless phone, you're going to get that. Okay, very, very quick because we have another caller on hold. What did they show you in the future?
They showed me that the human race on this planet was in jeopardy of extinction if certain events didn't be corrected. In other words, a paradox was going to happen.
Okay.
And the second thing he asked was, do I still have psychic ability? Yes, I do. Over the years, I learned how to control some of that. I'm going to put that in my book.
And your father's reaction when you told him what had happened?
He's known his son and raised his son to know better, that to not tell a lie. I gave him the truth. he believed every word I said.
All right, to the telephone caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and bye-bye. If you call and I put you on hold, you can hear us. You need to stay there because if you don't, you may be at the end of the line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Mr. Davis, I want to first of all thank you for your service.
Say
you
again?
Describe.
He thanked you for your service, Ben.
Oh, thank you.
You described a group of aliens, the tall, blonde reptilians.
Yes.
If I understood what you said, the reptilians can mentally influence someone or groups of people. Lieutenant Davis, because of your firsthand experience, do you believe the president or the majority of Congress could be under the same type of alien mind control?
I believe this planet was unconditionally surrendered during Eisenhower in 1953. And having said that, I believe the aliens have the capability of what they call density level. Of course, that's theoretical. It's the reality hoax written. It could be conjecture. But some of that speaks and proves to me how the manipulation game is a process, like we're all pawns. For whatever purpose, we'll never know. I don't know. Anything else?
I don't know. Anything else, Tony?
Well, I'd like to follow up on the Eisenhower comment. What did you mean by that, and how did you decide that was when the planet was lost to the aliens?
Well, I've done a lot of research over the years when the Internet became aware a long time ago, and I've ran across a lot of information from the Freedom of Information Act, and there was a lot of evidence that suggested the fact that these events occurred. Nothing's been proven. You know, it's just what this show is all about. You know, you hear things, whether you believe it or not, it is your choice. And that's one of the reasons I stepped up, because I'm tired of being underneath the radar. And I was told to write this book, and I've been doing it. I went back to college to learn how to write it better, thanks to John's co-author. And I'm moving forward with this because, to me, it's all related.
All right, Tony, thank you for the call. We do have to move on. We have a break coming up. And we are talking with Ben Davis, ladies and gentlemen. You have a chance to do that. You have a chance to call and talk to him when we come back from this next break, which is going to take over in 2 seconds. There we go. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on hold already, so Ben, let's just go to the phone.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I wanted to ask Mr. Davis, in his futuristic, they showed him, was there a time, a yearly time pattern involved there? Was it near future or far future?
The vision that I believe was shown me is only 15 more years away. I can't.
Okay, so there wasn't anything about a planetary object, which people are calling Planet X or things of that nature, in 2012?
Not to my knowledge. I took it more that their enemies I don't know which ones is the grays or the gray blues. I couldn't tell you which exactly, but I think it's their battlefield here on this planet that they're trying to change the human species and alter it to rapidly advance it because they think we're far behind where it should be in their timeline.
So you think it's possible then that stuff that's being put out there now is just a false flag thing and working with the negative ETs?
Yes. Yeah. I kind of lean that way.
Mm. All right. Thank you, Mr. Davis. I appreciate it. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, Mike.
And Kevin, thanks for having him on.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest this evening, Ben Davis. Of course, if you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we do have the other option. You can call the number, but we do have the other option, and that is a flash message. And you can send us your question or your comment via flash message, and I'll read it, and we'll ask our guest to comment on it. Let me scan this flash message real quick here. Okay, this is from Robert McDonald, who is a ship's captain now. He is in the Netherlands, and he said that he met a guy named Ben Davis that went by Kojak, also from Florida during training at Fort Benning, Georgia. I'm now wondering if he's the same guy. He sure looks the same and sounds the same. So were you known as Kojak?
No, I was never at Fort Benning. I'm my nickname is the Wizard way afterwards.
Okay.
I met a Ben Davis in a foosball tournament and drew him as a partner, and that's about it.
Okay. You were never at Fort Benning, and folks, don't confuse the stories here. James Norton was at Fort Benning. Our guest this evening was at Fort Polk. Okay? But this same person, Robert McDonald, says he also remembers a secret weapons test that was going on at the time, Operation Unknown Enemy. What a small world.
Huh.
Yeah, so...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Let me
write that down.
I also need to scan this next flash. I do scan them to make sure they are about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get a flash message that, like, why aren't you wearing a tie? You know, things
yeah.
like that.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Ben, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you have any physical side effects from your experience in the back of that pickup, such as chips or anything like that in your skin?
Man, that's a good question. ever since this incident, it not only changed me in a lot of beliefs, but it's given me some psychic abilities that that come and go from time to time, and sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's because I got bad hearing from an explosion at a demo range one day, or being a rock and roll band in the 70s, but sometimes I feel like I hear a Morse code like chirping in the back of my ear, and I've never really looked to discover any of that, and it's nothing I can do about it if it was. So that's as far as I can take that subject. But okay. No other physical disabilities. I mean, there was no other harm that I know of.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, sir, and thank you for coming out with your story.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. Whenever you felt you went into this interrogation with all of the alphabet guys,
right?
And the MIBs are in there, and they're wearing dark shades, sunglasses, in a dark room. And you walked in, and before anything else happened, you felt something in the back of your neck. Is that right?
Yeah, they had me sit down. It was in the middle of a room, just like an interrogation room. Bright light overhead, and you can't see anybody in the shadows. And, you know, I have very keen awareness. I'm ambidextrous. I have reaction time that's beyond anything you would ever know or have ever seen. I only know a handful of people in the world that just fascinated me at a lot of things. But I caught this. That's the last thing I can remember. I don't remember any of the questions. Not one.
What is it that you felt in the back of your neck? Did it feel like a bee sting, or?
Yeah, like a bee sting. Well, you know, not as severe as some bees I've had sting me, but, you know, it wasn't quite like a needle either. I have no clue.
Have you had any inkling since that period of time that you were being surveilled, or that you were being tracked, anything like that?
Well, yes. Over the years, I used to believe that I could draw energy, electrical energy, from street lamps. And a lot of, for example, you know, there's the cards you use to open a hotel room these days, not keys.
Mm-hmm.
If I touch them, it disarms them. And when I get near a street light, they go out. And I used to think that energy was being drawn to me. And I've actually discharged a lot of blue sparks. You know, my daughter, I tell you that. She can't stand to get near me in the winter. I'll charge the car and pop the other person on the other side. When they get out, touch the door, it knocks, you know what, out of them. And, then I became aware more and more that as I got closer during the night hours, certain lamps would just go out. And then I came up with a theory that, man, they got some kind of detection system on them streetlights all over the world. They can watch anybody that they've got a tab on. Well, that brings me to remember our induction in the military. And you go through all these inoculations. And then every 2 weeks you pull your sleeves down and you get bumped in both arms at the same time. And the drill sergeant's telling you, oh, these are just flu shots. And what the heck you need two flu shots for, you know? And through the years, I ran across some other veterans in my era. And we would have these sores on our forearm about the same time every year in the October and the fall, up to a dozen. And they would pop and bleed out of nowhere. Well, I got hairy arms, and one day a buddy of mine named Slammer, he got killed 2 years ago by driver texting, pushing his Harley. Sad thing, but he and I noticed the same. Oh, has this been going on since you joined the Army? I said, yes. Yeah. How long? It's been like 30 years. And so one day in his shop, one of these things popped out of my arm, and we got a piece of clear tape, and he caught it. We went inside his house, put it underneath one of those microscopes that you can hook up the computer, and we were floored at what we were looking at. And we blew it up as big a magnification we could see. It looked like I started calling them nanites, some kind of mechanical biological entity, you know, like a miniature microscopic alien floating around our bodies. And what the heck's the Army doing to us? That's a big question. And after about 10 minutes, the thing disappeared. I mean, it was on the tape and disappeared. And those are some of the inklings of, you know, repercussions of being in the military. Or involved with aliens, however, which way you want to look at it.
Well, that was my next question, and that is, you know, how would you know if that's something the military did to you or something the aliens did?
Maybe they're working together. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but these aliens certainly were not working with the military when they ask you to go steal this,
exactly.
this beam weapon.
That's true. But here's a theory. Say these aliens need this planet. It's the only one in God knows how many light years around us capable of sustaining life of any kind. And whatever resources they need is why they're here. They're not here for us. And if they are, they have to blend in to attain whatever they're after, if that's what they're doing. And then who's to say that this alleged battle in the universe for eons has been going on and the bad guys didn't get here first and the good guys are here trying to prevent it? And that's my, you know, theory of what the end result's going to be all about. They're going to bring us in, and they're going to change us, and they're going to make sure they're going to get their way. They're either lying to our own government, which they're hiding everything, and for a purpose that we'll never know. Probably not in my lifetime.
Well, if they're lying to our government, it's only turnabout is fair play because the government lies to us.
Well, that brings up the story about John Vasquez and the battle at Fort Benning. They probably ticked them off, or vice versa, or maybe it was an experiment the aliens wanted to do with John and the battalion just to see what our reaction was. And God knows that they're going to cover that up, because if that ever leaked out, you know, that we're that vulnerable, well, you know, if they wanted this Earth, they could have had a long time ago, the way I see it.
Have you ever been threatened?
Yep, the day I got discharged.
What did they say to you?
They told me that I was going to go to prison for the rest of my life if I fought this. And if I didn't sign this discharge, and if I ever spoke about this openly in public back in the day, that they were going to ruin me, my family. Well, you know what? I did that with MUFON, and it just about ruined me. I'm not even going to talk about my past 12 years. But I've slowly climbed out of the hole.
All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, your host, and we are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. We only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. If you are planning on calling, you've been sitting on your hands and sweating it and saying, I want to call. No, I can't. I'm scared. I want to call. No, I can't. I'm scared. Now's the time to make your decision, because we will run out of time very quickly here. Ben, when we went away for break, I had asked you if you had ever been threatened, and you said yes the day you were told to sign that discharge or sign that paper. You were threatened then, and they said if you ever talk about this, we're going to ruin your life. And you did talk about it with MUFON 12 years ago, and your life for the past 12 years has been hell on earth. Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly. It's been turned upside down.
You know what that implies, don't you?
Well, I think it's just a message that they can do whatever they want when they want. You know what? I'm past that point. I don't even give a dog anymore. I'm done with.
Well, let me ask you this: how did they, the guys on the dark side, how did they know what you said to MUFON?
I think MUFON's connected with our government. They're just a cover up. They collect information, they document everything, and that's what they do. They bring in, but they don't give out any information.
I've asked the international director of MUFON, Clifford Clift, point blank. I said, there are people that think you guys are hooked up and with the government. What's the story on that? And I said that on the air, and he said that it's absolutely not true. But one thing we know, if you talked with MUFON and then all of a sudden your life starts going to hell in a handbasket, somebody knew, somebody in MUFON talked, or the room perhaps was bugged. Maybe MUFON didn't know about that, but someone was able to get that information that was supposed to be only for MUFON.
Well, Mary Margaret Zimmer is the wife of the South Florida psychiatrist that does all these interviews with people with alleged this and that, the other. And she asked my permission to rewrite the story and post it on skyscan.org. And yeah, you can go read it at /bin.htm after that. And when it was published, they omitted 85% of the story. And
Wait a minute, who admitted? Oh, you said they omitted.
They omitted, yes.
Okay.
They omitted. They left out the entire story. And they even recorded it. They sent me a video, and you know what I had on it? I had to catch some kind of fish in the canal down in Miami. It was a joke to me. And, of course, the tail end of 99, the promise to have a reunion in Mexico City, downtown Hyatt Hotel, was discovered by my daughter's mother when she was a little baby. And, I know that story you told me about this reunion. I know where it's at. And I said, where's that? It's at the Cristal Rosa Hotel. I said, what do you mean? It's just, it's your daughter's name in Spanish. And right then I had goosebumps. And so I made plans after that MUFON meeting. I told them then I didn't have any clue where this was going to go. And so we made it there. I spent 5 days. I took my daughter and her mom to the Teotihuacan pyramids. My daughter and I climbed the pyramid of the moon. And when we got to the last step, she stopped, turned to me and said, Dad, this is for you. And it blew me right out of the water. How can she know stuff like that at such a young age? And I stood on top, and all I could think about was T and JJ. They weren't there. And we made a promise to be there.
What kind of a reunion was this in Mexico City?
It was something we agreed to do during the planning of recovering this item for the aliens.
Okay. Do you ever have any regrets that you were involved in that operation?
You know, I've thought about that over the last 35 years. And if I could change time and go back and make that choice on my free will or not, I'd do the same dadgum thing. I just, what I see in the world today is leading up exactly what they showed me. And it's sad, but, and it may be bleak, but I don't know what to do about it except write the book they told me to do. And that's what I'm here. I'm in the middle of it. It's going to be published. I haven't decided whether to make it fiction or true. And after reading John's book, I may have to reconsider and condense it. I've already claimed an ISBN number. It's called The Master Plan. And, you know, I may put that on the shelf for now because of just the recent events that are rapidly coming to the show.
You've been on this show now for 2 hours almost.
Mm-hmm.
You've been telling things that you were told never to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any fear that what happened to James Norton could happen to you?
No, not at all.
Why?
Nothing happened to John. He can't prove anything. nothing's going to happen to me because I can't prove anything. I can't even prove I was undesirably discharged because it says right here I'm under other than honorable. I get no benefits. I got screwed. I got shoved, you know, right where it went to. And you know what? That's exactly the way they treat people, regardless of political connection or background. And it blackened my name, and I'm here to say, hey, enough's enough. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to say what Norton said. Well, bring it on. You know, I mean, to me, that could have been, I want to go out in a glorious battle of some kind. Well, I'm not. I still got a daughter to raise. Mm-hmm. Love her to death. She's the most beautiful thing in the world. She's got goals of her own. I'd like to see them come to pass, too.
Well, I hope so. How old is your daughter?
She's 17. Mm-hmm. She's a second command in the junior ROTC Air Force at Mainland High School. She's second year in college in the dual enrollment program. She wants to become an aeronautical engineer.
Well, I wish her all the best. I hope that she is able to achieve all of those goals. And I hope that the next 12 years will be much, much better for you than the last 12. But I want to thank you for coming here to talk with us this evening and share your story with us.
It's been fun. You're very professional, very organized. I think it's the best show on the Internet.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. But we're also on AM, FM, shortwave, and all mobile devices and Internet TV, and it's the best show on every one of those.
And it gets better every year.
All right. If you will, just stand by and hang on the line. I will be back with you as soon as we get this landed. Well, that's it, folks. That's the story from Ben Davis. As with all our guests, you have to take what he told you. You have to think about it. You have to decide what you think about it. But you wouldn't even have that opportunity if you didn't hear the story. And that's what this show is all about. We're here because you have a right to know. And frankly, I think, honestly, you matter. A lot of things happen to you every day that send you signals that tell you, you know, you don't matter. You're just a cog in a big machine. Nonsense. All that stuff is lies. You do matter. And it's important for you to have the information. That's another reason that it's important for you to become a member here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's not but 25 cents a day. Now, we don't bill it by the day. It's $7.50 a month. We'll give you the first 7 days free right now, but you need to take advantage of that. What is there really to think about? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.